Here? Yeah.
I think it's 20.
Done. Regular meeting, North Bend Planning Commission, Thursday, May 24th, 2012, 7 o'clock City Hall, call to order. Minutes, May 10th, 2012, Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion, corrections?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if, so down on like line 46, 47, we were talking about the fire station last time. Right. And I thought that we had talked about that staff would come back with just at least some data about the fire station, so just so that we know. Mm-hmm. So I'd just like to see that noted.
Okay. Yeah, we can change that in the minutes.
And I actually had that same thought. Yep.
Other than that, good to go.
Can you refresh my memory on what you were wanting to?
So, because we were, it was, you know, all around like the future new buildings that would occur, new municipal buildings that would occur in North Bend would meet the silver level, LEED ranking, whatever you call it. So then we were talking about what's the fire station. We know that that was pre this. Mm-hmm. So obviously, probably possibility it won't meet this, but it was, if we're going to push this, it would be nice to be able to at least stand in front of City Council and be able to say, here's what the fire station is going to be, and
so there's a couple things. There's a couple levels to that. The first thing we could do is just to come back and tell you what environmental components specifically were included in the fire station, mm-hmm. And alternatives and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then that's relatively easy to do. The one step above that would be to actually try to do a comparison against a LEED checklist.
Right. Which we
could do that, but it would be staff time.
Right.
I think that was kind of the discussion was versus actually having a LEED certification evaluation done, which would be challenging. We're mm-hmm. saying, but you know, if we had it done, how would it look? Mm-hmm. And then the second area that I remember Ron was asking about that if there was savings through the bidding process that. Enhanced LEED be taken into consideration in that list of nice to haves. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things that I remembered. So the request was to note the inventory of LEED oriented features from the fire station, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we can certainly get the architect to write that list up of what type of, you know, LEED elements that they've incorporated into mm-hmm. the building.
Yeah.
So with that, it's probably a one sentence add to the mm-hmm. written minutes.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Seeing no one from the public, we will move on to the public agenda. Items, unless I miss somebody. Floodplain development plan, possible recommendation of planning commission, which is actually the second piece in our packets. So I'll open by saying it was certainly a lot easier to read and understand it this time, having a table of contents and being better organized. I did find it a lot easier to go through it. I did note that we seem to be still missing the appendices, but those didn't seem to be critical to.
We had talked with Barry Baker about that, and internally we felt like if there was something specifically referenced in the document to the appendix, something in the appendix, then we should perhaps include it in the appendix. Otherwise, we thought maybe we could just provide a listing of the documents that were used in the preparation of the plan and mention that we have those on file at the city, but not necessarily have to include them in the document just to save paper and simplify the document. So we may actually be taking out some of those appendix items.
Appendices.
Appendices.
Well, it would seem like, I don't, you know, I don't know how extensive the cost-benefit analysis was or the other pieces there. The acronyms would certainly seem like something that you want with the document.
Right. Of course, the acronyms under FEMA usually would take up a report about as big as that. You know?
Or a link to it. Yeah.
Could be. Well, I mean, with that said, I know I've got just a couple of comments on it. Who else has information? And so could
very
get
few.
A, you've got a few.
Very
so
few.
Could we? Should we start with then a motion to approve, or do you want to wait and talk through the changes? And okay, motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Second. Okay. Final comments, changes. I got one on page 1-2. First sentence under background, I insist that we capitalize the city's name.
Just as I asked the last time.
But it's the northern part of the city of Bend.
I understand. And were we in Central Oregon, I would be arguing differently. And I have nothing more until 10, 10th chapter, so.
Chapter 4.
All right. Where are you at, Gary?
A general comment, I guess, is all I'd like to say. So, I think on page 2.32, there's 753 buildings, which 610 are currently listed as in our special flood hazard area. And then in table 4.1 and 4.2, we have the potential build out of city limits and outside city limits in the urban growth area. Mm-hmm. And so these are all possible development in our floodplain area. And while I think 40% is devoted to parklands and would promote good drainage, I think I want to be cautious that we look at the development plans that are going to be coming in the next meeting that are going to ensure some permeable surfaces of these, and concern for downstream impacts that this document kind of mentions in the preventative measures about not developing in the floodplain. But moreover, I haven't heard any more on the lawsuit that the city has entered against the FEMA, and so that might prevent homeowners from getting flood insurance anyway. And so without flood insurance, they couldn't get loans, and so we might end up with just vacant buildings being developed and partially developed lots. So I don't know if it would be prudent and maybe to postpone any development until that lawsuit gets settled, so that way we don't have that kind of situation in the city. And so that's my concern. It's not that we shouldn't do it, but concerned if we go ahead and do it, that we're left in a possibly worse situation.
But what you're expressing isn't about something that you're looking for a change to the document. You're just saying concern for development.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Noted. Okay. Gary, you have anything else short of chapter 10? Actually, I'll make this comment as well. I'm not going to make any proposed edits. I'm going to stay in the comment realm as well. So my comments are really for council consideration as they're looking at this. So the second paragraph in the opening of Chapter 10 describes the plan as worthless. If there's no instrument for insuring blah, blah, blah. I found that rather bold language. So I'm sure I understand the concept behind what's being expressed, but I think that's a little bit over the top. Beyond that, 10-2, preventative activities, starts a long list of potential activities that could take place. I just found it very difficult to follow without it being, you know, numbered or otherwise called out, so I'll leave that to your consideration.
That's easy enough to
go back. Summary matrix or something like that. Right?
Yeah, and in fact, I think that the matrix, I realized, actually follows all of that, and if I had looked at the matrix first, I might have been able to follow it, but I did decide that either way, the text needed to be called out. You know, it's bolded, each one's bolded, but it was still a little tough to follow.
We'll just add the numbers that correspond then with the matrix.
Yeah. Okay. And then beyond that, in that chapter, my comment would be just to counsel that I would encourage them to look very carefully at those recommendations. I found some of those to be rather far-reaching.
Which chapter? I apologize.
I'm in chapter 10.
But we've already gone all the way to 10.
Yep. Hey, you miss a few minutes, man. We're moving. Okay. Well, we'll back up. How about I'll finish my comments and we'll back up to you, Brenda.
Sure.
And then it looked to me like in the list of acronyms that was in the appendix, the second page, PDM appears to be missing. What that stands for. And I didn't dig through the whole document to see where RPA, reasonable and prudent alternatives, were, but I kind of reacted this early to the phrase. That's all I got. Okay, Brendan, everyone else has done. Yep.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll give a quick summation, and it'll probably be in the interest of time. I'll go back and type something out. To kind of recap what I'm going through, because there's just a lot of typos, and maybe you've already covered some of these, but some of the things that I noticed were reference sections weren't consistent as far as numbering and the layout. It would be beneficial to do the action items to actually call those out as numbers, where we're going through the bullet points here. A1, A2, A3, it got kind of confusing, this description. Okay, now this next page. Acronym introduction and usage seemed very inconsistent, especially at the beginning. I mean, FEMA and FIRM and these other things are called out right away, but the acronyms aren't called out, and so they should be put there. And then there's a lot of repetition in this, you know, maybe just preferential, but once you call out an acronym, you don't really need to keep redefining it, yet I found that was repetitive through it. Mm-hmm. And in areas where there's text-heavy acronyms, it might be beneficial to put a footnote to the acronym page in the back, because that should have been called out sooner, that there is a whole acronym page there. The other things, small things like usage of Oxford commas, right? Some areas they were using, some areas they're not. It just gets kind of confusing when you're clumping ideas together. Semicolons and colons. If listing things, you should use a colon, not a semicolon. Some of those text things. There's two text boxes, I believe, in there. One's blue, one's black. That's a little bit weird. Use of percents versus the word, you know, the symbol versus the word percent. I don't know what everybody else feels like, but the symbol should be a better representation than the actual word. Figures seem out of place and just kind of all over the place, and they aren't cited well throughout the document. So, for example, I could be on one page here, and here's a figure 1-2 or whatever, and then it's not cited for another three pages. So it might be beneficial to actually have the figures as a standalone page themselves and to follow relatively close where they should appear or where they should be used. That was one of the challenging things, is that they're just out of place. So if it becomes too much of a burden to change them, then where they're cited in the text, the page number should reflect where I can go back and look at them. This also stands for later on. For example, I think there's a figure 2-1 or something like that that's then later cited in chapter 10. And so now I'm like, okay, where was figure 1 at? You know, So that would be good. There's some inconsistent usage of bullet points. Some bullets are period, have a period, some are not. This is kind of a touchy-feely thing. Consistency is usually good to be there.
Just a question, do you have any of this electronically that we could forward it on to the consultant?
No, I've got it all penned out, actually. Okay. But I'll take some time to...
Well, I think, actually, Brendan, and I don't know, I think to your point, because I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, we made this comment at least the last meeting,
yes,
if not the ones before it, that it's rather an embarrassment to receive documents full of errors. And so I would think that staff would direct the consultant to clean up the document before it goes to council.
I didn't
bring it up again because...
Well, and your point last time was
moving forward.
Hammer on the nail is that, you know, when they start popping up on page one, page two, page three, then it's hard to really sit back and review the document for the content. I mean, MLD will do that, but it becomes a challenge because, oh, here's another comma that shouldn't be there, or here's a comma, or here's a place where there should be a comma. Because then it's just that professionalism, and if we're paying for it, and I don't know if we're paying, you know, per word type, because that was the only thing I could figure out why they kept typing out percent, is maybe they're charging us per word. Use of numericals, like if you're going to use anything 10 or more, you should use the number value 10 instead of writing it out as 10. And so there's some misusage of that. Semicolons and colons, citing figures and tables. There's some other acronyms that need to be defined in text. I think CFS was one, cubic feet per second, I don't think was defined at all until they had already passed that section. Those are helpful things. There's also a chart in there that's the CFS chart, and it uses the acronym. And I think on tables and figures and such, it's probably better to spell it out, again, because it also appears later on. So if I'm going to do a quick reference, I don't know what CFS is. So that's just another element. Let's see. Explaining some of the statistical values, because there was a regression R-squared value in there, and they were talking about semi-logs and whatnot, it might be beneficial to have a little explanation of what that really means and its predictive value, or maybe even show the linear regression itself with the slopes and all that. I don't know if they can do the charting on that. Because what is 0.95 confidence level, right? And then... reference citations are too close to figures. Yeah, those are just my key ones. I have some throughout the text, but citations, labels, figures should be standalone pages. Okay, that's just my quick overview.
That's a great overview. Great read.
Well, I started getting
redirection again. I think in regard to cost, I would certainly think that at this point staff would be really questioning if they got any further bill for edits on it. If you can't clean it up the first two times that we paid you, I think the next one's on you. That would be my expectation. Any other edits?
I thought the content was fine. It's just most of it's just typos, and there are bizarre sentences that are out of place. There are actually some good paragraphs that should be bulleted, because I'm reading them and it's like, what is this here? I gotta go through it all, but citing tables and whatnot. So I don't know.
Okay. So we've got kind of two choices in one sense to me. What we're expressing beyond the motion is purely go through it again. It doesn't really take an amendment to the motion necessarily, but certainly open. And Piper, I think you were the one that made the motion, so it's your determination whether you feel that your motion ought to include any further instructions.
Well, I guess Mike had indicated earlier when we first started, and maybe, I don't know, we've talked about this a couple times, is that, you know, we didn't pay the consultant to edit the document, like, so catching.
Yeah, but this was a very messy document to start with before the consultant opened it up.
So how do we deal with that if they weren't instructed to do that?
Well, I don't, from my perspective, whether it's consultant or whether staff's got to do it,
right,
somebody needs to clean up the document.
Right, that's where I was getting there. Yeah. So if they weren't.
Well, we can determine that based on our discussions with the consultant on how much it's going to cost, and we'll weigh that versus our time, and we'll make a decision. So that's fine. We'll just get it done.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the funny thing is that capital N with North Bend has been in there since the very beginning. And so it's like, yeah, maybe it's worthwhile that someone sits down, takes these last little, you know. I mean, there was one that, like, the bullet was the first, it was indented. It's like, yeah. I just was like, yeah. So we just need to balance that with wrapping it up, putting the bow on, I think.
And then cleaning up the grab, you know, the format in the grammar would be a big plus.
Okay, so here's one of the questions. If you guys have content, I mean, you have two choices. If you have content changes that you want us to come back and show you, or if we're talking about commas and indents and the cleanup, and if you guys feel that that's something we can manage and send on to council, we can still, in the end, wrap this up with the part of your recommendation that that element be done. Or if you want to have it come back to and see the changes.
I'm busy writing a proposed friendly amendment.
Oh, okay,
friendly
awesome.
The original motion was to approve the
document. To approve it, yeah.
Oh.
We have a motion to approve. We got a second. So now we're friendly amendment.
Yeah, and I mean, without going back and looking at all the references that they have to actually just check some of the sources and what they're saying, you just got to take on face value that it's an accurate read of the original documentations. But
okay, let me try this one on. Friendly alteration of your motion. Motion to approve the floodplain development plan. As to content, with the provision that the full document be reviewed and edited for format, spelling, and grammar consistency.
That sounds perfect.
Gary, you were the second? Accept them.
I accept that. That's
all right. Any further discussion?
I just maybe on that, something more to the technical element of it instead of grammar.
I didn't hear much beyond everything you spoke to was to me was grammar, spelling, and
grammar, spelling, formatting.
Formatting.
Punctuation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's grammar.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
You haven't gotten rid of me yet.
We keep
transportation
trying.
And have the storm drainage still.
Yeah, storm drainage.
Storm drainage.
All right, well, fellow commissioners, that's been a long slog on this one. So
I'm
glad we got there. Next on the agenda, urban forestry plan and street tree regulations. Mike.
All right. So what this is, where this started was back a year and a half ago, we got a grant from the Department of Natural Resources to do a tree inventory of all of our municipal trees, or at least a majority of them. And the reason for that it's good for us to have an inventory and then a plan in place, is that we're growing rapidly now. And unless we start planning for what happens with our street trees, they're just going to wind up getting neglected over time. Right now, we're managing them on the fire alarm basis, which means when we know of a problem, we'll try and then figure out what we're going to do about it, rather than thinking comprehensively ahead of time. And so what we've done is the council passed a resolution earlier that named the Parks Commission as the city's tree board. So with the Park Commission, we then worked on preparing this urban forestry plan and then the corresponding street tree regulations. So what the urban forestry plan does is it establishes kind of the larger vision for what is it we want to do with our public trees. So that's trees within rights of way, trees within parks and other public places. And assigns responsibilities to different departments and different individuals for the care and maintenance of trees. Establishes the responsibility of adjacent property owners to the tree in front of their house within the right-of-way. And kind of sets out a requirement for an annual work program to address our trees. It also provides some tree selection standards, tree planting and pruning standards, and tree removal standards, so that we're doing it consistently for the protection and the betterment of the trees. Along with that, we have the street tree regulations, which implement sections of the urban forestry plan. And the larger purpose of the street tree regulations is just to ensure that when tree planting or pruning is done, it's done consistent with the urban forestry plan. So that's an example of what happens when you don't have a larger plan in place. Over here on Bolch last year, the mini storage decided to go out and prune the trees. But rather than doing a careful prune, they just basically hacked off the upper third of the tree, basically topping the trees. And so we have a whole row of trees that are not going to grow healthy now, and they'll be do the top suckers and just be rather ugly and unhealthy over time. So the street tree standards or street tree regulations establish a permit requirement, and the permit's free for up to 7 trees for removal or pruning or planting of street trees. And the permit is pretty simple. It's basically us giving whoever the applicant is the street tree planting requirements in the urban forestry plan and saying, okay, go forward. These are the standards that you're going to be held responsible to. And then a follow-up inspection to make sure that that happened. So that's about it. The Parks Commission provided a recommendation on both the urban forestry plan and the street tree regulations. And we wanted to get your recommendation as well. It's also a land use issue.
So, Mike, I have a question, if I could start.
Yeah, sure.
I thought in the document it said it should use a percentage of native species and trees, but in the large trees I did not see cedar or fir or noble fir of any kind. So I'm just wondering, is that on purpose, or am I missing something somewhere?
So it doesn't prohibit the use of those trees. This is just what we did. Also, along with the rest of these amendments, is we provided some minor amendments to the landscape standards. One of those amendments was to pull the street tree regulations out of the landscape standards into this new street tree master plan, so it's all in one place. So we didn't provide any edits to this table. That was already how it was in the landscape regulations. And generally, conifers aren't planted as street trees. They can be in some contexts, but usually there's limitations with...
This plan is intended to only be about street trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you also notice in that chart that it notes that the planter strips are between 5 to 6 feet that you can plant these in. And we would only put one of those trees in probably a 10-foot plus.
I thought there was some reference to like cul-de-sac or...
There is.
It'd still be street tree, but it also references parks.
Yes, and the street trees, I believe there's a statement in there that states certain varieties that reduce the damage to sidewalks and streets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good reason why they're probably not in the list.
Although,
unless there's
sugar maple statement. Is. And that's a nasty root.
Nasty root tree.
Yeah, you got to
large
with some of the maples.
Yeah.
And the parks, these are only for street trees. So if you went to, if you planted in a park, we're giving recommendations of street trees.
Yeah.
You could plant those, because those aren't considered street trees. These are parks.
I don't remember what it was. I just saw something that made me think about really big trees, too.
So then in the tree pruning and care, I think there was some mention that it was to be 2 inches or less in diameter, a branch to trim. So as we know here, we get limited sunlight, and sometimes it's not until the tree gets pretty large that you're going to want to trim it to either lessen moss to grow grass or to let in more light, you know, or just if it's become an obstruction to your once mountain view. I mean, I'm just thinking, would we permit that, and if so, should we amend?
Well, there's the severe and improper pruning definition in there, and that's 3 inches in diameter or greater. So if you're cutting off a branch that's that size or larger, arborists have generally said that's too much, and you're cutting off too much, and it's essentially topping a portion of the tree. And that creates the water sprouting and the unhealthy growth.
Isn't the way that I was reading it was just size was just being distinguished between what was done without consultation and what required an arborist consultation?
Yeah, arborist is only involved if it's a large. What's my language on that? Okay, yeah, it says, for larger projects, the city may require...
Where you're at, Mike?
This is on page 3 of the tree regulations under major pruning. In larger projects, we intentionally did not define a quantity to that because the context is going to vary. And the city may require that any major pruning as defined in this section be performed by a qualified professional. Otherwise... it's up to the property owner to provide the pruning consistent with the standards.
And for the light issue, these are street trees, so the closest spacing we have is 25 feet. We don't have anything closer than
that's with a small
required
tree.
Yeah. So typically, you have that issue more when you're in parks or yards where you have them planted pretty close.
That makes sense. So on page 4, point 4, B and C, there's two different rules here for who maintains and care and maintenance.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, what is the thought process?
Yeah, we thought that the streets that are listed under 4B that the city is responsible for, those are the primary public streets. That's where it's more businesses. It's a busier street. We wanted to make sure that we have... a little bit more control over how the trees are maintained over time, and the other streets are just general residential streets where it's more appropriate for the adjacent property owner to be responsible.
This list doesn't cover really all of the streets within the central business district, right? I mean, I'm not saying all the streets in the city, I'm saying specifically all the streets right here in the central business district.
No, it doesn't cover all of them.
Why?
That's a big responsibility for Public Works if they're going to have a huge inventory to suddenly maintain.
Well, so the ones that were chosen are definitely the two spines of our commercial core. And then we chose Downing because of the school. And we have, we own a lot of property on that with an extension. So the right side of the road, if you're going south, would never have any care of the new section. So we kind of strategically picked the areas in downtown that we
built. You're saying you picked Downing from 3rd to North Bend Way because that's a lot of public property between the school and the city ownership?
There
is that what you're saying?
That's one consideration. Because we own the whole, and there will never be development on that right side, on the west side of the road.
That's the same reasoning as Orchard. Because it runs from the Metro Park?
Again, that's kind of a key public space that we felt we want to potentially have higher, you know, I don't want to say higher standard, because, you know, I mean, you know, one thing I think we really need to focus on is the downtown. Right.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah, I'm asking for that, because that was, you know, the first three totally got, and then the last two, I thought, why were those ones being singled out versus all the other cross streets?
Yeah, and the north side of, I mean, what we are taking the responsibility off is the Metro Parks, because it's only the north side of the road. Cause right now, there are no street trees on the south side of the road. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of almost we're hoping the other government agency, which doesn't usually maintain these, because they're, you know, not government agency, but they're,
yeah.
Yeah.
Jurisdiction.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as long as we're in this exact spot, I've got, I think, maybe two comments. Is one that I get why we would focus very much on the main corridors. That makes sense. And I understand the logic of these other two locations. That kind of works. I think maybe we should be giving those some consideration to. We've kind of defined what exists now, what businesses, you know, what business buildup there is now, and saying, okay, because it's a business corridor, the city's going to take that responsibility if we have zoned for a lot more business development. Mm-hmm. That would seem inconsistent as we grow. So give some thought to that. Second thing, very related to that, and I'll go first to 4C, where it's talking about the responsibility falling to an owner's association, where there is one, and I'm wondering, is this, I don't know whether we do or not, but are any current owner's associations do not have within their CC&Rs that responsibility? Don't we need to be very careful about going back
we will
and
have
imposing
to
a new regulation on them?
A big part of this will be the public outreach to let people know how these standards apply. And I want to go in and actually develop a tree care website to identify who's responsible for the tree in front of your house, and you know, what do you want to do if you want to plant it or mm-hmm. or prune it or whatnot. So
I think you're talking about the financial.
Not just the financial, but even the legal.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's not in CC&Rs that they have to take care of it.
Yeah.
And they were, and the city mm-hmm. has to approve the CC&Rs for them to build. I'm questioning the legal grounds that we have to, unless they're grandfathered without that responsibility.
I saw that, you know, just before you were bringing it up, I was writing a note on that myself, and I wanted to suggest maybe the second to last sentence in that paragraph, where it says it ends with subdivision or condominium development. I'd recommend that we put a comma in there and then say, unless precluded by previous development agreements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would get exactly what I'm bringing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then just to add on to that, the city additionally reserves the right to perform the pruning and maintenance. So, like, I get that, but then how does that kind of, you know, walking on eggshells. So then does that mean that you're going to charge the association for doing that, or the property owner who just happens to own that? So I just felt like there needed to be...
Right? There needs to be an enforcement element in here.
Yeah.
If the neighboring property doesn't do it, what that would be, I'm not quite sure.
What's the process for that versus the city just reserves the right to go do it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that needs to
be... Yeah, we can clarify
mm-hmm.
that.
That needs to be...
That was the intent in there.
Can I just jump back a page on page 3? We talk about a public tree inventory and
updated. Right,
sorry.
Before you jump back to there, I've got another question about your last point.
Mm-hmm.
What are we saying are the responsibilities in trimming?
So there is a whole section on...
Well, I know we've got, well, I mean, the removal jumps out at me, right? The general concept and the planting standard and the general concept of maintaining the tree.
So is that on page 8?
But is it telling me that I have to maintain it? It is. Some of it is, right? 5 foot off the ground or whatever?
Mm-hmm. That's more a planting standard there.
Well, the tree pruning and care standards.
Well, it's also 5 foot off for number 5 on
PG. Where my head was going is, well, what is it?
What is your responsibility?
What is my responsibility? Mm-hmm. And if the city's going to say, well, we've got the right to come in, and then in some enforcement that we're going to charge you, what am I being? What's the standard I'm being held to? So I just make sure we're clear on that.
Also a warning type. I mean, what would be the protocol on that?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
The city just come out and do it if they see fit, or is there a 30-day
notice?
Just like in the storm drainage code we have the right to go on private property to maintain a storm system if we think it's not being maintained. But as our inspection process goes, we issue a inspection report to the property owner. Before we do that, give them an opportunity to bring it up to the standard that they're supposed to meet. If they don't, we write them a letter, remind them, and then the third time we're in there.
Yeah. And we do that with all enforcement.
Yeah.
So we always give somebody 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the situation.
So probably then what we need is just a reference to that enforcement code.
Okay.
And then, is there an emergency standard? I'm assuming there's probably an emergency standard where, let's say, a tree falls down. And
yeah, we have a section in here that describes emergencies.
No. If a tree falls down, the Public Works Department will take care of it. Yeah. You don't want the citizens out in the middle of the street, you know, doing things or whatever.
If a tree falls down in the middle of the street, does the Public Works hear it?
They hear about it.
Good answer, Ron.
And you were going somewhere else.
Oh, so back on page 3, there's a dimension of the inventory that will be updated on a periodic basis. So periodic meaning every year, every 5 years. Should that be defined in here, or is that too binding?
It's, I think, more of an as-needed basis, every couple of years.
Okay.
So we are updating it. A couple times, Larry Shaw or Mark Prey has let us know about trees that are going to be removed or planted, and Mark has actually already provided some updates on the inventory.
I had kind of picked up in that same theme. I was on page 9 under the annual work plan of resource management, and number 2 there that speaks to GIS tech, you know, mapping all of these locations and the steward and inspecting and reporting back on. And I get it maybe a little bit, but to what purpose? What am I doing with this list, this inventory? What's it doing?
It helps us to be able to manage our resource better. So as an example, we had a tree that was run into over at Sideview, chopped off completely. And at that time, we already had the inventory prepared, so all we had to do was click on the button, and we knew what species and size it was. So it was really easy to say, okay, we're going to buy this species, go install it.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good example.
I guess that's where I kind of, okay, yeah, I kind of get that. I mean, that sort of makes sense. I just wonder about the cost aspect.
For the most part, it's going to be self.
What the offset is.
It's going to be self-updating because as a development comes in, they'll provide us with their street tree plan as a part of their preliminary plat or whatever. At some point, Mark will update the tree inventory based on that submittal.
In other words, there'll be a lot of gaps initially. Over time, it'll fill in.
Which is just like any GIS element of our...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a real strong feeling about it. I was just thinking of the cost aspect, the amount of staff time, and, you know, I mean, does an incident like that offset? I go out to the street and, okay, maples are on this street, and I said, okay, we need to go get a two-inch maple.
And that's where we did with the grant work, that more field-heavy work.
That's
from
actually,
this point. From this point forward, I don't think we're going to be going out into the field to say, okay, the trees have...
Well, I was more to the incident of the one that got run down. So I go out and say, okay, both sides of it's a maple tree. I can come plant a maple tree.
In the winter, sometimes it's hard to actually determine. Right. Not that, like, you can't wait a couple months, but...
Yeah. I'm just thinking of... what's the cost benefit of that? If the city's seeing the value, then
it also allows us to calculate the benefits of trees. So if you know your species and your size, you can quantify how much carbon they're uptaking, how much stormwater, and the other different functions. It's actually in our contract, they provided us with the ability to use iTree software, which you just plug in your inventory and it spits out your overall dollar quantity of what your trees provide for you.
I'm sorry, our contract with who?
Our contract with the tree inventory company that we did through the grant.
So we got a grant to pay a private company to maintain.
Not to maintain, but to provide the initial inventory.
We basically had a guy walk around.
Which saves lots of guys from having to walk around.
Okay.
We went in and had Ron's guys sit or walk around. We got a grant. No, we just got it done.
Is some of this a requirement to be a free city?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't recall if the inventory is, but that's...
It is. It was one of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because that's kind of the initial... You need to have the information mm-hmm. to know how to manage your... Even when it comes to, for example, when we have, you know, now we're requiring root barriers in all downtown trees. But as trees have problems and such, didn't she even include sidewalk areas where we're having tree issues?
Like, I was going to say, I think the way this is currently written, you're requiring root barrier everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So also in the inventory, when you find, if you have an issue with a tree, either it's popping up the sidewalk or anything, and you have plans on replacing those with non-intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your work plan comes in. So your inventory tells you that these trees are in bad shape. You plug those into next year's budget proposal, and then you're staying ahead of the game.
Did you get your question on three?
That's what reminds me before we leave time and talk to you about those cycles.
I have something on five.
Okay.
Two things. So I think we always have issues with wording like in number one, street trees shall be provided in all landscape strips and landscape design. So that's worded fast, very black and white.
It is.
Yeah.
That comes out of our existing landscape regulations, and we're transferring it over there.
Okay. Right.
And that just means with new development. That doesn't mean...
Hey, but we can go after it again. Shall is one of my
hated
words.
Well, then, further down, there's a shall be. So number seven was really kind of weird to me. So it seemed like there were two things happening in number seven. So in commercial areas, tree species will be upright rather than spreading growth patterns should generally be selected to maintain visibility for business and signage. Got that. Within the downtown quarter, new replacement street trees shall be some specific species. So I thought that should be a separate thing.
Maybe
it seemed like two totally different things. And then the Zelkova Serrata Mucchino.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a cherry. Is that a cherry?
It is.
Really?
Is it a fruiting?
Yeah,
you wanted to say Marchino. So.
Marchino tree. So I didn't see it in the approved street trees.
Oh, you know what? You're bringing up a good point. It's probably not in the list because it was approved.
Strike that one.
It was approved because we had some trees fall down in downtown, so we went out to an arborist and had him recommend something to us. We had already had the plan put together. For some reason, that got amended because we were. I wonder how that got in there, but we didn't. Anyway, good point.
Yeah, well, we will add that.
Well,
okay.
Before we add that, my question is, when I read it, you're saying every street tree in the central business district has to be this?
That's the way that the standard reads already.
Well, I also read later that there was like this concept of alternating tree types.
Yeah, it's not the same tree.
It's number six.
The downtown,
right,
the downtown core is only from basically Bendigo or Ballarat to Sydney.
Well, okay, so let me just, this is a very funny conversation because on Wednesday I was up on Snoqualmie Ridge. And driving along Snoqualmie Ridge, they have like, I love those little white, paper trunk trees and the
birch
trees.
You got the machine over, not the birch.
No, I know.
Paper white.
Anyways, so I love those trees are awesome. I was like, that is really cute. Like they're all the same the whole way up. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, we don't have the same. It was like onesie twosie riff raff. Just there was like, what the heck is going on? It's
on
just funny then. Yeah, on the ridge. And then I was like, it's funny that we're
she and I know
no way.
It's just really weird because there's the, you know, the white paper trunks, and then there's the brown ones, and they're significantly smaller trunk trees, and so it just looked really funny.
On the corners.
Yeah.
No, I think what she's talking about, the original.
No, it's in the center.
It's the parkway. The parkway has some major tree growth issues because underneath the parkway had to be compacted so heavily that it's basically concrete under about 2 feet of. So the trees aren't growing.
Well, there is quite a variety of trees within the parkway. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Now the plot just was only those two types. Yeah. There were only the two types that I thought. And then when I see this, that it's, you know, okay, so we do want to have alternating. So you either want to have alternating or you don't, but you can't say they shall all be this. So I think it needs, because it says in here there's, I think you just said.
Well, I think
it should be.
One element of having a specific corridor be the exact same is it helps visually you recognize that this is some important area. And I've seen other cities do it, you know, so I see your point and totally agree with it. But at the same time, I also see the flip side where it's,
I think what we're not understanding is that the two can really do work together. But I think the first clarification that I wanted to be sure understood is when you're referencing the downtown core,
mm-hmm. should be defined.
That is not the same as the central business district, right? And so that was my mm-hmm. first. And so my first stab at understanding, well, then what are we talking about is in reference back then to four, these areas mm-hmm. what the city is taking care of, these streets, what's the math between the two? It's not
so
even
the city is responsible for more than just the downtown core along those streets.
Right. So I think that probably would help us a little bit because I'm kind of with Brendan. I mean, I get how we might want several blocks of the same mm-hmm. tree through the central core.
Mm-hmm.
And my question that I came in, but if the central core was one and the same as the central business district, then I was disagreeing because that was a lot of
space. Why don't I just put in parentheses right after downtown core what that includes?
Right.
That would.
And then I think as part of that, you need to look at number 6, which basically says, consider alternating street tree species along the street so that if one gets a disease.
Right.
So that it contradicts with this, we want consistent, but we want. So I think that needs to be.
Yeah, but we're bringing back DDT to deal with that. So.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
So point 10, we're bringing back DDT to deal with
it. Exactly.
Not
like we planted those in front of that page. Yeah.
I have one more on that page.
Go ahead.
So number 8, with the large trees, I think you kind of touched on this. Large trees provide up to 48 times benefits compared to small because there's larger leaf surface area, blah, blah, blah. And like I immediately went to, we don't need more shade. So that just really...
Where, what, like,
I,
what
I like having the nice green trees, but we don't need big, humongous, that then you're going to have mossy sidewalk, mossy tree, mossy grass underneath it. And
you don't like where you live?
Hey, I've worked very hard to on my moss this year.
You know, that says, though,
fighting nature.
That's where the area, you know, where planting areas, is. It's not limited. So usually that's parks and areas where... Unless you plant a grove of those large trees, mm-hmm. those large trees become your, like almost your, I'm thinking about the library.
Yes.
So they become almost kind of your heritage trees. So I see what you're saying, but...
We're not likely to see that happen in subdivision anyway with the 5-foot planter strip or 4-foot planter strip.
Well, then does it belong here?
But I think it goes back to one of the first points we're making. I think we've got a mismatch. You're trying to focus on the street trees, but we have several references to non-street.
Well, there are non-street trees we're providing through this plan, trees that are in parks, park and ride lots, things like that.
Let's define that. Then.
But then our street tree list is only that.
Yeah. Right.
So do we need some language or an additional list of what's acceptable outside of the planter strip?
We give people the latitude on outside, because unless it's in city park, or in the planning district, it's usually on a private property.
So it's probably just a sentence somewhere in there to give that clarification.
Yeah,
the implication is the only trees within everything we're talking about here, the only trees that can be used are on the list or as approved to go on the list, but we're really not saying that.
Well, the list specifically says street trees.
Understood.
So if we said street trees and then comma, park trees and others are not
limited.
Or just parentheses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Parentheses. That's what I meant, sorry. Actually.
I saw a quotation on the first page. I'm like, I can't get into this comment.
Well, and maybe it starts to flow right from, you know, number one in this section and top of five. And push it. So street trees shall be provided in all landscape strips. Got it. What's in landscape design?
And that's, again, just carryover language. We can amend that. That's the way that it reads right now.
Yeah. Not fighting that. It's just, are we?
Well, then it should say street trees shall be provided in all landscape, I mean, maybe right-of-way landscape strips, because that's what we're talking about.
Isn't it landscape, maybe it's landscape designs shall include street trees
or
in
maybe
all landscape
street
strips.
Street trees and right. Trees, because if you're defining the difference between, because we want them in parking lots and landscape designs, but, so we're...
In that case, though, the trees that are not within rights-of-ways or on parks are subject to the landscape standards, and that's mm-hmm. covered in another chapter, and that mm-hmm. requires certain amounts of trees.
Yeah.
So here, and even parks are a little different in that we're not requiring trees, or
certain
trees within that. Parks are reviewed subject to a park plan approved by the Parks Commission.
Yeah.
Right. So and by definition are not street trees. That's right. What it's hung up on. I mean, I know what a landscape design is, but we're not requiring a street tree in a landscape design. We're requiring a street
yeah.
tree in a
so
specific location.
I think this whole section can be redefined as street trees.
Right.
Is that what you're getting
That's
at?
That's what I'm getting
okay.
at.
Okay. So street tree provision and species selection.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Would it be all right to insert a map with the specific areas that we keep talking about, just as a visual reference?
About the, you're talking about the ones that the city's responsible
yeah.
for?
The city's responsible.
That might be interesting.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, let's pull up the website.
It's just the regulation.
Good guy.
But street trees are 2-inch calipers.
Question on number two. Again, here, I think what the intent, I'm not saying we didn't get it wrong the first time we wrote it, I get that. This is a cut and paste. What we're talking about here is how to add trees to the list, right? Species of new street trees shall be selected.
No, this is right. When a development happens, that the Community Development Department selects the street trees from the list or
right?
another alternative.
So we're taking the choice out of the developer's hands and saying the city's going to dictate what tree gets planted.
I don't think
is that what you intended?
Hold on. I think what we no, because I think what we're trying to say is it needs to come from the approved list, and in the end the city approves, because they're going to be in our right of way in the end, and in the end we're running around chasing the people who are either maintaining or not maintaining it. So we want to definitely know the trees going into the space are proper. And so it's more like the wording, because it's really a connection.
Approved instead of selected.
Yeah.
That would be better wording.
So well, maybe you could just say species of... Sorry, go ahead.
It's approved. Mike just hit it.
So they can go off the approved list to submit to the city,
mm-hmm.
and you say yay or nay.
Or they can even propose
so
something that's not on the list.
Plant this species in this plaque.
No, and actually we that's how we've done all plats, because a lot of people want to put certain trees
yeah.
on the corners and then other trees just for marketing
yeah,
purposes.
No, this is just wrong.
And that's been fine as long as they've come off the list or they've been approved by our arborist if they're not on the list.
Yep.
Yeah, so what just what you're, I think, referencing now is what I was really getting at and hoping that was intended here, mm-hmm. was how do you get new trees onto this thing, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll do some sort of a clarification here?
Well, we're going to change this to from selected to approved.
And there's just so much power I want to give Jenna. one suggestion at the end of that sentence, instead of ending it with the standards below, I would say herein. Okay. If I could jump back a second, back to number four, when we were talking about the responsibility to maintain the trees, it occurs to me, why aren't we considering devolving responsibility for the downtown core to a downtown merchants association? Not necessarily one exists, but we're putting the burden on the homeowner. Why not have a merchants associate? They're the number one most interested in having that attractiveness for drawing the business.
That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is, right now it is actually the responsibility of the businesses. And we've been talking a lot about, I don't know if you're aware, but we've always done a downtown cleanup day. And it's coming, we can definitely do that and keep it that way. One thing we've been talking about, though, in La Conner, where it's very pro-retail, very business-oriented downtown. The first thing their city does is, on Monday morning they go out, or Friday, they have a certain schedule, and it's when the tourists are coming in, so it's probably Friday. They clean up the streets, and those streets look awesome. And they look awesome on a consistent basis, so it isn't mossy here, and then non-mossy here, and then mossy. So one thing that we've been wanting to do with the downtown is, we are actually getting a critical mass of retail in our downtown. If you compare our retail options in our downtown compared to the retail options at the Mountain Valley Center, right now the Mountain Valley Center is actually struggling more than our downtown to keep the spaces filled, which is really actually a compliment to our town, because we're supporting our core. So that's kind of the philosophy is, okay, if we want to step this up a notch on our look and feel, we kind of need maybe just to suck it up and deal with the core in a consistent manner. And that was the philosophy is, okay, if we end up with a system to keep those sidewalks and ready for business. Now, with that, your point, I understand.
The other mm-hmm. philosophy is you say that it's the how are we going to build a stadium? We're going to tack mm-hmm. on money to every rental car, right? It's the mm-hmm. who do we want to? The benefactor is coming into that retail stores mm-hmm. is a lot of times not the folks in town. So but the city's expenditure on care for this is going to come from the person who's also living behind the tree that. In front of their property that they're going to maintain also. So
the other one that's just kind of side note, number one, we're just now forming our downtown merchants association. So it actually got formed this week. So
now you can get them with us.
Congratulations, North Bend. We have a downtown merchants association. But the one thing that I don't know if it's noticeable or you guys might know this is we do get a lot of comments from businesses about the trees being problems mm-hmm. and rather not have them because they block signs versus investing in the right sign versus a sign that can't be seen. And that is usually the problem is the signage or the marketing of the building, not the tree.
Right.
But the tree is the easy identification. Well, we just need to cut down the tree and then, all of a sudden you can see my business. And so that was one thing that we also kind of feel... there's lots of studies that show downtowns with trees do a lot better.
Yep.
So we kind of felt, let's just take control of this area.
Mm. Well, then, the alternative is to look at a funding mechanism.
And that would be a good thing, potentially for the Merchants Association to do. And so maybe it's a combination between the city and the merchants somehow.
Who's funding the like the baskets during the summer?
That's the city.
The city. Right.
So, which again has the same kind of a feel and a benefit, right? So, if you're looking at the funding mechanism for that.
Mm-hmm. And actually, what I'm hoping with the Merchants Association is that the city will have a baseline support. And that will be maybe twice a year pressure washing of the sidewalks, you know, the baskets and the flower boxes we have as, and some benches. But that doesn't mean that now the new Merchants Association can really, because if you want to take that to the next level, especially with like holiday festival decorations and things, you know, that's where it's going to end up being a combination. So I think having a baseline support helps the merchants at least feel they've got.
Like they have the core stuff taken care of and then put the icing on the cake.
Exactly. And the trees really don't cost the city that much to maintain. I mean, in the end, when we have a problem, they take time. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, they're just out there growing. Although Ron would argue on the sidewalk factor. Definitely. I know.
Yeah, because those trees are, maybe those wouldn't be what you would pick today. Yeah.
And none of the old trees were planted with barriers.
Yeah.
We'll pick some silk fades for the next time.
Exactly. Okay.
I have an easy question. On page 12, we list sugar maples as a medium street tree, but then also on page 14, it's listed as a large street tree. And the only thing I see is different is other cultivars of Sacrium. So is that really it? I mean, I'm just a simple guy. I don't know sugar maple from sugar maple.
Species difference.
Yeah, I just know sugar maple as a very large maple, so I'm curious about that too.
So I don't know if there's a more distinction we can list or a certain variety. It's G on page 12.
I'll look at that and see if that's...
If we can, more descriptive.
And it's also a medium?
It's also on page 14 tree, as Maples A.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So they're both the same, whatever name.
Oh, okay.
Except Acer's for secular. Other cultivars.
Actually, there's Mushishino.
Oh, is it on there?
Yeah, it's 8 on page 14. Isn't that the same tree?
Oh, Zelkova. I went to this list 2 times looking for that thing and never saw it. But,
gotcha.
You know, maybe botanists would be able to explain because it says other cultivars.
Saccharins.
So I'm assuming there's got to be different, like you said, varietals. Yeah. So.
But I'm thinking a builder or just some citizen reading this.
Yeah, we're going to make
sure.
The developers who hire the professionals.
Within the developers, there's restrictions on the size of the box, so the base of the trees will dictate, you know, if they would go with that Acer sacrum or this Acer sacrum, right? I'm assuming.
Well, I do agree we should clarify that.
Yeah.
I don't want to light up the wrong tree.
Yeah. Can I ask a question on page 9, number 2?
Might be a long page, but there's a lot.
So this sentence is just really...
You're on page 9.
Page 9, number 2 at the top.
Of tree removal?
Tree removal or replacement standards. Public trees that adjacent property owners consider to be hazards and which removed through a street tree removal permit shall be evaluated by a tree care professional to determine the level of hazard prior to removal when the hazard is not clearly evident. I don't get that.
Eminent. It should say maybe imminent. It's not imminent.
No, or evident is the
evidence.
So no if it
somebody's going to say that's a hazardous tree, just because they want it removed.
Actually,
that the adjacent property is considered to be hazards.
We see this a lot in Wood River.
So
in other places too. In other places too.
Yeah. Maybe you should say visually evident instead of clearly visually evident.
It's just a really poorly worded sentence. Yeah. Maybe it needs to be two sentences instead of this one sentence that like is trying to encompass.
Those who want to remove it just for the view.
Exactly.
Well, I think where I thought you were going, because I recall when I read it as well, I thought, well, how in the heck do you determine, you know, what is clearly evident to me may indeed not be to you.
Well, that's always been the
evaluation of the tree professional.
Right? You're trying to get to the evaluation, yeah. Right?
But you know, you can get three different tree professionals to say three totally different things.
And what it comes down to is that if I say this is a hazardous tree city, and the city fails to take action, and something happens, city has now become liable.
Yep.
Therefore, you're going to get the expert out to say yes or no, right?
You know, we should just remove the hazard, because in
yes,
maybe that theory is remove that
because what we do is when it's clearly like the tree is had that, we go out. We don't need to call a professional, but it's our tree. The city owns these trees, so we should be able to say
Yeah, so maybe that will help me, because it's just trying to do too many things.
Just when it's just required.
It's probably to explain to a citizen, look, you may not see the problem until the tree part, you know, because they're professional. Exactly. Yeah. So.
We're jumping all over. Thankfully, it's only a few pages. I'll jump back to six for just a moment.
Oh, sorry.
It's just a little minor one at the bottom of the page on C7, or at the end of the sentence where it's saying with the root ball consistent with. I suggest you strike the so that it reads consistent with figure and then name the figure instead of again. Avoid directions, I think, in the
text. Yeah,
and my recommendation on the numbering system, you usually don't continue with the Roman numerals.
In a section.
You start off with I under each section.
Yep, D, I.
Oh, yeah, that should have done that. I think that's just an error in there.
Mm-hmm. That's Microsoft.
I'll say I was amused by the watering section, but I'll just
and leave it at that.
We were too. But you got to give it
a try. I had many, many conversations around a lot of this stuff written in this.
Mm-hmm. I think Rob might know a few of these sentences very well.
Repeated them in my sleep for a long time. Here's another one that might be a benefit in the tracking expenditures on page 10. It seems like what we're trying to do is capture anything reasonable related to the cost. Why aren't we getting from the homeowners association their cost to maintain?
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
And off of that, you could probably do some sort of a reasonable estimate about what it cost any homeowner to maintain. A lot less or a lot more suspect, perhaps, but certainly the homeowners, it's you've got a landscape contractor, breaks it out. Mm-hmm. My next question is really just more one of understanding, from our legal arrangement here. So, this forestry plan, how does it relate and work with? Code section where we're taking stuff out of essentially 18.
Right. Taking it out of 18 so we have it in one place. But it is going to be outside of our municipal code, but just in the same way that our floodplain development plan is outside of our code or our stormwater plan. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a standalone document, but with the power of standards.
So it still has to be adhered to, it still has to be, it's implied that. Well, will it be? Is it referenced in the code that there's this other document, whatever?
So if you go into the street tree regulations, that references the standards held in the urban forest.
Oh, I see. Okay.
then why pull it out of municipal code?
We just want to have all the street tree things in one place. It makes it a little easier to implement. You know, you've got your policies and your standards.
So you're just saying the policy section would not belong in the municipal code.
Yeah, the vision and the...
Truthfully, even the list is odd in the municipal code. Because, you can definitely... You know, a lot of different cities just, you know, reference C list. And what would be nice is we start a list of the plants that are appropriate for outside of the... You know, I think, like, if you remember Rob Owens from Farm Ridge, there was a book of appropriate plants. And so as we grow that, we definitely don't want to grow our municipal code, so it's so cumbersome.
Yep.
So we're trying to...
Okay, so
organize.
So the municipal code section amendment to the 12.2.8 is to just cut everything that had been in there regarding the street trees, reference the forestry plan. The forestry plan really becomes now the guiding document, which includes policy as well as the standards.
Yeah.
And the appendix with his approved plannings. Mm-hmm. And then section 12.
Yeah, 12.28, that's where it establishes the penalties for damaging trees and the requirement for the permit. And that's more regulatory.
That's just the regulatory piece. And I had one question on that in the municipal code 12 piece on page 2, 12.28.070. In the permit cost, and actually I think it's inconsistent with the way you speak to it in the plan, this says not a cost for 7 or fewer trees.
Right.
And I'm wondering, why did we land on 7?
7 is also the number of trees broadly that don't require a clearing and grading permit. So we wanted to line that up.
We're also wanting to promote people to come in and actually work with us with trees versus try to avoid the system. And anytime, even if there's a $25 fee.
Well, that's where my head was going.
Oh, okay.
Why aren't we just striking it? Why are we charging for 7 or over if we're trying to encourage a behavior? Give a no permit fee, if that's what we're after. It's very different than a clearing and grading permit.
The only problem with that is, and this is not, I mean, this is just one thing to consider, and this is where cities choose to subsidize in different areas for good management of the city, but there are times where we have to call in an arborist, and at that point we have quite a bit of cost involved. And,
for instance, if the Wood River Homeowners Association said that, or not Wood River, Forester Wood said they want to replace all the trees because they're getting too big and they're blocking the streetlights and cracking the sidewalks and so forth. Mm-hmm. We'd want to have a little bit of...
I know, we've had this question. and also that then also discourages people to come in. So there's this fine line we're trying to strike between encouraging people to come and inquire when it's just one or two trees because it's legitimate versus since it's free, let's just go and see if we can take out all these trees and get smaller ones so we can see our view better. You know, something like that. So we're trying to, or maybe not the view, maybe it's whatever, but we've had that question come up.
Was it in here? I thought when I was reading the front of it, it was referring to the no-cost permit.
Yeah, it is referenced in here somewhere.
Yeah, it's not there.
You're talking about in the urban forestry plan reference?
I don't know if it's in your recommendation and findings or if it was in the goals, but because it jumped out at me. Oh wow, really, a permit without a cost?
I'll look for that.
That's right, it's in the third paragraph on page 1.
Yeah.
Okay. permit, yeah. So I think you just need to clarify what you're saying there then, Mike.
Third paragraph on page one of the urban forestry plan?
No, it's your findings.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you, yeah. I'll change that.
And then, do I recall that this is introduction, next meeting is public hearing? Yes, right. We're not not asking any action tonight, just getting feedback.
Although, based on our schedule, if you guys have thoughts and comments that you aren't feeling like you'll be ready for approval or recommendation next, let us know so we make those changes and get you there. Because we have pretty much a full Planning Commission agenda, or your agendas are full for the rest of the year almost.
Well, we won't.
I went to City Council for public hearing. So I swear I was very late today. I was very tired today.
What are you thinking?
What I was thinking is until we've had the public hearing, we don't know.
No, yeah, of course.
We're feeling about it.
I shouldn't say it, but your, planning commissioner, and obviously if a citizen brings up something that changes that, we'll have to address that.
I'm still stuck on my site improvements and sun exposures being left up to the public works director.
That's a good point. Don't worry about it.
That would be on page 4, B at the top, number 1. That's the way it's written. B1 at the top of the page. Page 4, at the very back of the document, when you're getting into the codes, it's under 12.2.8.110, hazardous and obstructive trees.
Oh.
You didn't know you were up for that responsibility?
I thought I transferred everything over to them. No, this relates to traffic considerations. So that does come under my
so if a tree's within the sight line,
it's a safety issue for traffic.
So then would obstructive trees still come under then tree pruning? Because that's basically what you would be doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or moving, which is the fit same as obstructing. He actually brings up a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Which it's defined in there. It impedes vehicle and pedestrian traffic by vision of vehicle drivers or pedestrians.
Imminent threat to public safety. Good job.
It just says it's responsible for the removal of the obstruction. Not the tree, just the obstruction.
Not the tree.
So it's basically a trimming.
Obstructive trees, yeah. So it's trimming, yeah.
Yeah. I don't limit it for interpretation by you, right?
Whether it's imminent threat.
Yeah.
That's a lot of responsibility, Ron.
No, Ron.
I'm sorry, where?
It's the last sentence.
The last sentence.
To determine in the event.
In the event the obstruction poses an imminent threat to public safety, city in its discretion may remove the obstruction.
Just giving my edits up. Okay, I'm done.
Ron is our emergency.
He is the direct guy.
EOC manager.
So what's the concern there?
Gary had the concern.
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't like moss.
Or is it just?
Is there?
Are you saying
No, but maybe for some flexibility, maybe we have some kind of secondary process if they disagree. I don't know. If there would be a situation.
Not a public safety issue. They don't get the discretion to.
Just discretion.
Yeah.
Your ability to push back is to sue.
I'm coming from the other. Yeah, if you didn't agree, it was a.
Imminent threat.
A threat or a public safety issue. Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Ron's a fairly cautious guy.
I'm trying to pass.
Other
thoughts?
No more thoughts. are coming out of his brain.
Other than my general visceral reaction to the word shall, which I'm not going to suggest changes. I fought that battle once. We're going to let Piper take it up next.
The word shall?
Word shall.
There is a word shall. That tree shall be a S.
Planter strip shall be planted.
Shall this, shall that.
You can change it to where appropriate.
It's then for us,
I like shoulds.
Then we have
it's too iffy.
The future Rod McFarlane in our office.
This becomes black and white, and therefore you know what you're supposed to do. If you do should, there's going to be so many people coming in there trying to debate things and
you just don't know how many hours I spent just talking about.
This is how we got
four
married.
Four or five letters came after the S.
Which five letters?
Actually, the point that you're bringing up though is with our city and the way we are broken up into many, many different parcels, we never have the situation where you're dealing with one development.
It's a very different
situation. Yeah, so the overall impact of any developer is usually, like Cedar Falls is going to be our biggest plat. We've already seen our biggest plat based on our, in theory, unless somebody consolidates
the
properties.
The one over by Wood River will be just as big.
Oh, sorry, Sigali's is a hunt. Yeah, that's
right. Sigali will be about the same, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
take that back.
Sale.
Sigali's?
Transportation,
the DOT one.
The DOT one, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that
sounds like, cool.
Well,
we've concluded item number 5.
Included the last item on the agenda. Is there anything more this evening? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's still an hour and a half.
I'm sorry. This does not get recorded on that.
That's it.
I thought you had cameras in it.
I didn't hear that.